Crisco, Dez, and Ryan.
After Hours.
Oh, we made it through the week. It's Friday morning. Oh, boy, and it's just gross out. Oh.
Yeah, it is not a day you want to just go out and do anything. You're like, okay, it's snowing. It's wet and sloppy.
I was really hoping for good sledding snow, but this is not that.
No. Your kids are going to come in with wet bottoms.
Yep. And they'll only last outside for like 10 minutes, and then they'll be mad.
Yeah, right? Oh, this is the crud snow that you hated when you were a kid because your gloves would get wet.
Yep.
Your coat, your snow pants would be wet. It's just disgusting. Oh,
and yuck.
I don't have a single vacation planned. This is the worst.
Nothing.
Oh, wow.
No. I mean, what? When can I go? Where can I go? What can I do?
The funny part is I just saw somebody, obviously where can you go is the right question. I just saw somebody who's on vacation in Turks and Caicos. They just went and had like a beach vacation. And I went, well, son of a bee, how did you get the confidence to go there?
It's probably very affordable right now.
Isn't this around the time you went last year?
Yes, I went for a Martin Luther King weekend.
Are you really trying to do this to our poor pal right now? Is that what you're trying to do?
Is it not okay to ask him about one of his favorite vacations ever?
It was an epic trip, and it is never inexpensive to go there.
Yeah, probably not even in the middle of a pandemic.
That's why I went for a Friday through Monday. Boom.
Yep.
That's right.
Came back on a Tuesday. No, that is an amazing place. But I really miss not having a vacation to look forward to. That is the best part about winter, is knowing that you can go somewhere nice and warm.
I know, especially right now after the holidays are over.
Yep.
You're like, you were on a high and then it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
You need something to look forward to.
Is there anything better than stepping off the plane in a warm environment?
Stop it right now.
Oh.
Everything feels like a little humid.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh, it's so hot because you just came from 2 degrees.
Yes.
It's 80.
Oh.
Then you always make the mistake of flying back home in less clothes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, son of a bee, I forgot about that.
That's a rookie move, my friend.
It is a rookie move. I don't travel as much as you do, so you're always prepared.
Are you in your bikini when you fly back?
I am.
I always have Minnesota clothes and carry-on, so you change when you get to the airport.
Totally.
Oh, that is a good move. That's a smart move.
That way you don't have to be, because what I used to do is prepare for Minnesota when you're leaving the island or wherever you're at, and then you're just hot and sweaty. It's gross.
Yeah, that's really smart, because that's why I don't do it. I'm always like, oh, shorts and a hoodie or whatever is fine, or a shirt, whatever. And now I know. That's great.
Well, no vacation. It's dry January. I'm on a diet.
God, this sucks.
It is not a great time to be the rye guy.
I thought the Mediterranean plan.
Yeah, remember, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle.
Yes, it's my Mediterranean method.
Method, yes. See, so you're not on a diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is our lifestyle now, and Vaughn is not a fan.
Stupid lifestyle changes.
That's my favorite part about these methods. If there are like a tougher one for you guys, Ryan is so good. You're so diligent about whatever you do. If it's something in front of you and you have to do it, you will make the best of it and you'll do it. And then that's my favorite part about Vaughn, because after like 12, 13 days, he'll be like, this is great. No, this is fun. I actually hate it.
Okay. Well, he's not necessarily a fan of all the Mediterranean foods that I love, like olives.
Mm.
He doesn't love, and I want them on everything. Kalamata olives, all the olives. I love them. He's not a huge fan of the various grains, like, you know, the tabula and the farro and all the different things. And I love that stuff.
I do too.
Artichoke hearts, you know.
Those are tough to get used to.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, no, those are. Here's where you can tell we're different. I love artichoke dip.
Yeah,
I'm not a super big fan of artichoke hearts.
Well, because that's mostly cheese.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying you see the difference between us.
Yeah.
I like artichokes in that matter because they're just like thinner pieces.
Yeah.
But like taking down an artichoke heart, you've got to really button up to the table on that one.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. I'm loving this because it's halibut and salmon and Arctic char and orange roughy and scallops and shrimp and all this good seafood all the time and tuna. And then, you know, the occasional red meat.
So
that's great. And you can have an occasional, I mean, you're in dry January, but isn't this involving a glass of wine here and there?
Yes, it is. Once one glass of red wine a day is allowed.
Okay, I think I need to change to this lifestyle.
It's a good one.
I mean, you're already doing it.
Here's the thing that really bummed me out. For the longest time in our life, it's always, what do you want for dinner? I don't know. And it's that buyer's paralysis. You know what that is? When you give a buyer so many choices, they can't make a decision.
Yes, like me at a restaurant.
Yeah. And so What do you want for dinner? I don't know. Italian? Do you want Mexican? Do you want American food? Do you want French food? Do you want a soup? Do you want a hot dish?
Oh.
Do you want seafood? There's so many choices you can't decide. But when you pick a lifestyle like the Mediterranean method, you know what you're having. It's fish, chicken, salads, soups. It's right in there. It's all the same stuff. And it makes grocery shopping really easy because you buy the same things. Tons of vegetables. You know, your seafood, and away you go.
Yeah. See, that's what was so funny about Craps Creek when they had the menu. The menu that was just oversized, and they're like, I guess I'll go to this side of the menu. And it's so true for a lot of restaurants.
Well, while we're on the subject of food, Food and Wine just picked the best dish in each state, and ours sounds amazing, but we've never been. I don't know. What is this place?
Okay, so I've never been to this place, okay? Tavern on Grand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, I've never been there. I don't believe I've been there. Their famous walleye sandwich was named the best dish of Minnesota. And I'm sure it is delicious. The walleye here is fantastic. But, I mean, of all the dishes in Minnesota, it is getting a lot of heated debate online saying that this doesn't even come close to the best dish here.
But that's a very Minnesota thing. So I can see a magazine like that picking, you know, a walleye dish.
Yeah, it says that what they said in the magazine, it was published on January 11th. The walleye sandwich is the best sandwich in Minnesota. And noting that the fish will make you probably forget about all ocean caught seafood for a moment.
You know, what's funny is when we were in Hawaii, I would bring up that we're from Minnesota and how much I love their seafood. And they'd say, oh, but yeah, you guys have walleye.
Yes, walleye is fantastic.
Wow. We're currently eating a delicious mahi-mahi that was just swimming 6 hours ago. This is incredible. Yeah, yeah, but your walleye, whoa, is it good?
Isn't that funny? It just depends what you're used to.
Well, that and, you know, the things that are in front of you are just kind of meh. You always want what you can't have.
That's true, yeah. Man. Well,
I'm on their menu right now looking at it, and the pictures look amazing.
Yes, it looks like the perfect ratio of tomato, lettuce, the seafood, the walleye, and then the bun.
See, but the focaccia bun has to have a good vehicle with it. Otherwise, it is super dry.
Yeah, well, it's going to have a ton of either aioli or it's going to have tartar a good tartar.
It's got to have something like that. Ryan, I know that this is over the top.
You need to go Mediterranean method. It's tzatziki now.
Oh, you know what's funny? When you just said you kind of eat like that, do you know once a week, we've been doing, we just call it our Mediterranean chicken.
Yeah.
And we do a Mediterranean, like, you know, a marinade and grill it. And then we make either a hummus or we did like an edamame hummus the other day. I mean, it's so good that I've just been using veggies to dip it in. So I'm actually almost there. We do seafood and chicken a lot.
I wanted to tell you this too, Ryan, because when you were gone for the 6 weeks, Des took a picture of her refrigerator. Do you know how many containers of sour cream that Des has at any given time?
Oh. And cottage cheese and cottage yogurt. Cheese.
Forget all that.
Dippies.
She had 7 full-size tubs of sour cream and 2 or 3 mini tubs.
It was cooking season, baking season, holiday season. We cooked like every single day over the holiday, these gourmet meals, and they needed it.
Des, it explains why you had to unbutton your pants during the show today.
Okay, well, you know what? In my defense, I'm 5 pounds down from my weight that I gained over the holidays, which was 10, by the way.
Oh. She unbuttoned her pants, forgot she did it, buttoned them up, sat down, and then went, oh, now I remember why I unbuttoned my pants.
Well, you forgot the fact that they'd been unbuttoned for like 2 hours, and I forgot they were unbuttoned. And then I stood up and wondered why everything was just free-willing.
Oh, boy. You know?
Free-willing. Oh,
it's just like my belly just kind of went, surprise.
Dunlap disease. That belly Dunlapped over your belt.
Yeah, it did.
Jeez,
the old Dunlap.
Okay, well, hey, after that lovely story, why don't we get into something a little weird?
Okay.
We've all seen Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know there was supposed to be a scene in the original Ghostbusters where a ghost gave Dan Aykroyd oral relations while he was sleeping?
Oh, what?
Yeah. They did film it. It didn't make the final cut, but that's an actual thing. And here's Ernie Hudson talking about it.
You know, Danny's one of the writers on the movie, and he actually wrote a scene where we go to this firehouse and we spend the night. And during the night, a ghost comes in and slips under the covers and gives him. So they filmed that. But then I guess somebody thought maybe it's not such a good idea. So that never really showed up in the movie.
Yeah, because it'd be R-rated probably.
Yes, Rudy was adamant that this happened in the movie. I think they might have teased something, like somebody was in the room with them and kissed them. But this was a full-on like scene, which would have changed the entire dynamic of Ghostbusters. Oh, man.
I mean, that's sick. I loved Ghostbusters. I can't imagine being young and watching that if that would have been in it.
A little ghost blowy.
Oh my God. And then, I mean, can you imagine young men around the world would have been just praying to go to bed every night?
Oh boy, Ray Parker Jr. would have been like, he would have had a different song. Who are you going to blow?
Oh, Chris, go for the win.
I got to give you that one. Okay. Well, hey, while we're on the topic of the paranormal, did you hear the CIA just released tons of material as they declassified more than 30 years of files on the subject of aliens and UFOs, Des?
Yeah, I heard that, and I don't want to know.
You don't?
No.
I do. I want to know what they know.
But I don't, because then I'm scared.
This is the Black Vault, they're calling it, which covers documents from everything from mysterious Russian explosions to top government officials being hand-delivered intel on UFOs.
Oh, cool.
Oh, they've got it all, and it's all ready up for anybody to go ahead and look through and check it out. Could you imagine 30 plus years of secrets, and you're going, I knew that happened over there. That was in the desert. So was I.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But is there anything that confirms suspicions? It's all a bunch of reports, I bet. And
that's just it. It's not like anybody has like their big Independence Day moment or anything like that. It's just flat out reports. It's just people writing down things that they saw, or somebody turned in a report and said, I saw a UFO out in the desert by my house.
Yeah, they're keeping the good stuff, the real stuff, the alien sightings, the aliens that have moved here and they go to school with our children. They're saving that information.
Well, I wonder if the aliens would come here and find Dan Aykroyd and give him a blowy.
One can hope.
Good enough for a ghost, it's good enough for us.
He's like, hey, Dan Aykroyd, that's some pretty, pretty magical meat right there. Come here.
Oh, my gosh. Ew.
Oh, I know they're out there. You can't tell me that this is the most sophisticated place in the universe.
It cannot be. There's got to be something out there. And for as smart as people are here in our planet, there's got to be somebody else out there going, you don't even hold a candle to us.
But what if there's another planet that's maybe not as smart as us, but what if they're just in their dinosaur stage right now?
Right.
Oh, man, I need to move there.
You know, what?
Because I would be a pretty big deal there.
Yeah, you'd be a pretty big snack. I mean, a T-Rex would take one look at you and, oh, my God.
He picks me up, and it looks like a snake. He's unhinging his jaw. He's like, I really bit off more than I can chew with this one. Oh, my God, somebody help me.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that one.
Thank you.
The big guy has a new hobby, Des.
Oh, boy. I can imagine what it is.
Yep. He's always coming up with something new, and he's
very active.
He's going to get going collecting baseball cards again?
Yes, because how funny is this? Of all the things that are closing and all the things that are happening, they just had on Rice Street, over by the Little Caesars that closed, whoopsies, they just opened up a sports card shop. Of all things, you would think in the pandemic you wouldn't open a sports card shop. It would be tough to get it going. But now they're having these packs, Ryan. I don't know if you've seen it. I know you had them from way back when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But they're doing packs now, which are like certain like blind grab bags, basically. And somebody a while back just pulled a Mickey Mantle rare card. It just sold for over $5 million.
They pulled that out of a pack? How was that in a pack?
Right? No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the Mickey Mantle card. It was a different card.
Oh, here we go.
No.
CNN. Alert.
Okay. I heard about the Mickey Mantle card, but I did not hear that was in a pack at a card shop.
Well, I was thinking of the one Rob Kardashian got. I'm sorry. It was a different one. Rob Kardashian pulled a $1 million card from one of those packs.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that is true. I just mixed them up. The $5 million card was somebody's card they had in their entire lifetime, and this guy who bought it said, I spent my entire childhood, my life, wanting that baseball card, and now I got it for $5.4 million.
Wow.
Dang.
I mean, could you 5.4, and the best part is that card wasn't even a 10 out of a 10. It was a 9 out of a 10. and it still sold for $5.4 million.
So your new hobby
Was sold for 5.4?
The Mickey Mantle cover, 5.6.
Okay, no. See, what is it? Here we go again. CNN. How are you putting these facts out there when you don't know?
I thought it was over $5 million.
It's 5.2.
Oh, you son of a bee. It was 0.2, whatever.
Well, you should have just said around 5
million. I said over 5 million the first time, and then I just threw out a number.
Crisco News Network, man.
God. You know, it's a report that the Crisco News Network puts out every day.
What's that?
That is not a lie.
Wow.
I love my buddies, Ryan and Des.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, we love you.
Well, thanks. The guy who bought it, do you know who this is?
No.
He's the guy who owns the Dope clothing line.
Dope?
Have you not seen Dope?
No.
Like,
it's a lot of black. And then he has a CBD line.
So dope.
And yeah, he spent $5.2 million on that card. Whoa.
That is, I mean, what do you do with it? Does it just immediately go on display in like a case? Or?
He's just sitting down wearing his Dope shirt, holding it up like, yep, I own it.
I'm dope.
That is a lot of money.
Look at me. I'm super dope.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I bet he's high on the CBD too.
No, that's not how that works. Oh God. He just emailed us. Please tell Des to never talk about my brand ever again.
The old DNN. If you want to be new.
What is that? Just the Des News
the
Network?
The Des News Network. False information on the line.
Actually, it's just very uncool.
Speaking
it's
to somebody
false.
Who's really big into Dan Aykroyd, Des, everybody.
I do have his, is it his vodka?
Des tried out as ghost vodka? Number one in Ghostbusters.
Crystal Skull, yes.
Yep. I interviewed him when I was filling in on Twin Cities Live, and he gave me a signed bottle. I have it displayed.
Well, speaking of $5.2 million, get that on eBay right away. You're going to fetch a pretty penny for that.
It's empty now.
Oh, you drank it?
Yeah.
Well, what else would you do with it?
You would keep it.
It's not
it was
a
signed.
Collector's item. I kept the skull. I can just fill it with water.
That was his fatal mistake. He gave you a bottle of booze. She's like, this is great. Go, go, go.
That's the point. You're supposed to drink it. I don't remember what's so special about it, how it's filtered, but it's supposed to be a really great vodka. We have it somewhere.
I think it's like, you know how it's just distilled more than the average. I think it's more than triple. Like triple is really good. It's more than that.
Totally.
Quadruple distilled. Oh my God, stop trying to get in on this booze talk.
No, it's like I'm not going to be able to drink that. That's not triple, quadruple distilled.
How
can I possibly enjoy that with all the stuff I mix it with, all my good mixers?
I only use soda water.
I like a big glass of bitters.
Oh my God. Bitters you just barely sprinkle. That's,
well, and yours. Mine's different. Des, we're all different people. Well, I like a little splash of bitters and then a big old glass of bitters.
Bitters does help when you have a tummy ache. I did learn
that. Well, I've got one right now because I'm sick of you.
You have a tummy ache?
I do.
Can I get you some bitters?
Please, I'd like just a half of bitters. Today, though. Thank you. Ryan is left.
Ryan, please help me.
Ryan, you're back, buddy.
Ryan, help me.
I'm on the phone one second.
You can't be on the phone during a podcast.
He's not
I want
on the
to
phone.
Call a friend, too. He's... Ryan, be expecting a call from me momentarily.
I'm going to both go on a phone call.
Oh, God. All right. Well, now I know you drink your Crystal Skull vodka, but would you eat this dessert? This is a flashback from the 70s. It's a commercial for a dessert product called Fruit Float. Hmm? Okay, would you eat this?
What would you like for dessert?
Ice cream. Pudding.
Yeah, pudding.
Fresh fruit?
Glad you all agree.
Introducing the one for all, Fruit Float. A dessert that's totally new.
A strawberry.
All you do is add cold milk. Stir.
How long does it take?
And in less than 30 seconds, it turns into a light, smooth, refreshing dessert. Fruit Float is made with real strawberries. One can makes four generous helpings.
Dad, I bet you can't say Fruit Float three times.
Fruit Float, Fruit Float, Fruit Float.
You lose.
New Fruit Float from Libby's. The one dessert for all. Strawberry, raspberry, peach, pineapple, and mandarin orange. All with real fruit.
Oh, so it contains the pieces of the fruit mixed with milk. It makes a light and fruity pudding-like dessert.
Yeah, it's like a liquid, and then you mix it in. I love back-in-the-day commercials. Four generous helpings.
But Des, would you eat it?
I mean, I would try it.
Of course you would. There it is.
But it doesn't sound good.
Is it distilled?
Though my stomach literally growled when we were talking about it. So,
okay.
Probably,
jeez, that thing.
I mean, is this nanner going to have to do? Yep, going to have a nanner instead of a fruit float.
I want everyone to paint that picture in their mind of Des standing up with her pooch hanging over the top of her pants that are unbuttoned.
Yep.
Growling over a fruit float.
Yeah, doesn't even sound good. That's how disgusting I am.
That should be the flag of River Falls.
Well, no, Ryan, you were the head of a fruit float one time.
Okay.
She got her funny in there real good.
All right. Make sure you download PodMN if you like listening to our podcast and other Minnesota made podcasts, because you can win free things. It's PodMN.
And you know, I wasn't allowed on the float. I had to walk beside it.
Okay. So you were an advocate of the fruit float.
You've been listening to Crisco, Dez, and Ryan.
After Hours.
The insurance industry is full of one agent representing one company. I mean, chances are your current agent has one company, but just think of how limiting that really is. Have you heard of the Canopy Group? You need more than one agent representing more than one company. And that's why Paul Borkert and Jeff McDonald created the Canopy Group, so that you're not at the mercy of one agent with one company. The Canopy Group gives you 30 specialists and 16 separate insurance companies. Some of the names you'll recognize, like Nationwide and Progressive. Some you won't. But here's what you get: an agency that will shop for the best possible coverage from all of the different companies. As your needs change, the Canopy Group continues to find you the best coverage from a company that specializes in just what you need. So are you stuck with one company and one agent? Are you paying too much? The truth is, the Canopy Group last year saved their new clients an average of $810 on auto and home insurance. TheCanopyGroup.com or call 800-967-3389.